Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're officially in the Blink 182 mode now because the Avs, the real bright spot of the day today, have clinched the playoffs, and we'll see if they can go defend the Stanley Cup as we get closer and closer to the postseason. Kyle Fredrickson joining us right now, the beat writer for the Avs of the Denver Gazette. Kyle, you probably never get sick of hearing that song, man. Probably never, right?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? They sort of peeled back from playing it at games. I am curious to see if it comes back. It was definitely the unofficial anthem for the state last summer, it felt like.
Well, and I feel like it kind of revived Blink 182, strangely enough. I mean, the Avs winning a cup and going on that epic run, they played that song all the time, and then that became a national thing in the playoffs. So Blink 182, you're welcome, right, from the Avs?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, all the old fogies like me and you, you know, we can tell the youngins about what that was like to listen to them back in the day. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun for sure. And I'm sure, you know, if it's not that song, there'll be another anthem this year of some sort.
Do you want them to have a new anthem or they got to stay with that one, right? They got to stick with that. That was magical.
Well, selfishly for me, I heard it so many times that I think I wouldn't mind a new one. It is very cool to hear a crowd sing in unison that loud and for that long as that verse continues during play. That's really my favorite part about it.
Kyle, talk to us about this team, man. I mean, we saw quite the interesting contrast last night, in my opinion. You saw the Rockies do Rockies things, and that's lose. Even though they had small opportunities, they get bases loaded, no outs, they lose. The Nuggets are a good team, maybe a great regular season team, but they really needed to win a game against Houston last night, and they weren't there. The effort wasn't there. You see the Avs, they needed to win a game, and they found a way to do it. It was tougher than expected, but they found a way. And they got themselves in the playoffs with all the injuries, everything that's mounted up. How in the heck has Jared Bednar and this crew stayed together to find a way to do this? Because I had doubts like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, you know, me too. Looking back at mid-January, I think, is when the team was really starting to slide. People wondered if this team was built for it. Well, you know, were they going to miss the playoffs entirely? But just looking at the numbers since, and, you know, this is a stat from Brendan McNicholas, who does a great job as a PR guy with the Avs. But over their last 36 games, they only have 10 losses, and that's the second-best record in the league next to Boston. So that shows you really what that jump was like over that period of time. And in terms of how this team has done it, it's really been, I think, a lot of this championship character that's carried over from a year ago, where the team is really finally locked in. You know, this was the shortest offseason that the Avs could have imagined. They've got a ton of injuries to deal with this entire year. So I think they reached maybe kind of their bottom there in January and thought, all right, we have to play better if we're going to get back to being in cup contention. And they've proven that they have that character and talent to do it. And we've seen it. You know, the top guys have been phenomenal. You know, Nathan MacKinnon with 100 points on the season, Mikko on the doorstep of 50 goals. They've been getting a lot of great depth contributions over the past few games from a lot of random guys. Jack Johnson with 2 goals over his past 4 games. So it hasn't been pretty at times. This isn't a front-running team that has been blowing away opponents and is just kind of waiting for the playoffs to start, you know, which is kind of the case a year ago. But they certainly have shown, you know, in bursts that they're still the same team that can contend with at least certainly anybody in the West at this point. Which should be exciting for Avalanche fans. I think this team is very unpredictable. They could be a first-round bust, or they could get all the way to the final. I really wouldn't be surprised either way.
Kyle, what are the realistic expectations? I mean, last year, there was a lot of pressure on Jared Bednar to get past at least the second round. Otherwise, maybe the Avs are moving on. This year, given the injuries, how difficult it is to repeat and all that, what would be considered disappointing for the Avs as far as how they do in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think looking at their roster and you know, the potential now of finishing first in the Central Division, which seemed like such a long shot just a couple of months ago, like we were just talking about, I think anything short of, you know, getting to the Western Conference Final would be pretty disappointing, if only just because the West is disappointing as well this year. There aren't teams you know, that really are standing out like there are in the West or in the East right now. You know, is just, you know, clearly high caliber elite teams that are poised to win a cup. The West has kind of been jumbled. You know, the fact that the Avs are sitting atop the Central, tied in points now with the Stars and the Wild, is really a reflection of just kind of how everyone's been a little bit up and down. You know, Dallas has been a lot healthier than the Avs this year. But at the same token, you know, Jason Robertson has had a great year, but they haven't had those complete game performance and really having all those four lines step up in the way that Colorado has. So Colorado might be a deeper team. They might be favorable, I think, in the series against the Stars. So, you know, that's just one example that there's so much shakeup that could happen now over the next six games. But I will say it's a favorable schedule for the Avs for the most part, right? They're going back to San Jose tonight. I'm in California now for that game, and that should be another very winnable one. You got to play at the Kings in a couple days, and that's another playoff team. I'm really looking forward to being there as well. But then, you know, they have another game against the Anaheim Ducks to close out the road trip. You know, a team that's also, you know, not in a position to be in the playoffs this year. So, you know, a couple more tough home games to finish it out, and then they go to Nashville on the road as the last game of the season. But by all means, I think the Avs are in position to win the Central, and it's important this year because being that they're not front runners, I mean, that home ice advantage, the Avs should be looking for every advantage they can get. You know, to put themselves in position to get back to the finals.
Yeah, and again, just looking at how tight this race is, that game last night was so big for so many reasons. Obviously, clinching the playoffs, but as you mentioned, popping you up in that top spot there. All three teams you mentioned with the Stars and the Wild with 98 points. So this is what you love about, you know, we always say it's such a long season. Why do they have so many games? Well, this is why. You get down to it, and you still got 5-6 games left, and there's still so much to decide.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a historic season. You know, I'm actually selfishly glad that Mikko hit the bar last night on that really close-up shot that would have been goal number 50, just because I'm hoping to get the chance to see it in person tonight. Mm. And, you know, it's just to see him have this kind of year is really great, just because he's a very likable guy in the locker room, but he's never really been relied upon as the guy like he has this year with Landeskog out all year and MacKinnon missing 11 games earlier in the season. You know, to see Mikko doing that is really impressive and, you know, really kind of highlights what, you know, maybe it's been a challenging season in some ways, but, you know, as an Avalanche fan and as someone who just enjoys hockey, you know, to see some of these individual, you know, performances come out of this year, it's been pretty special.
Well, and another one, as you mentioned, too, was Nathan MacKinnon getting to a 100-point season, the first of his career. And we were kind of, you know, with a day where we're talking about John Elway moving on from the Broncos organization, it has us kind of thinking about the great ones. And John is certainly one of them, is throughout the state of Colorado. But Nathan MacKinnon just continues it every single year to put his name up there when you're talking about the Mount Rushmores and such. If Nathan MacKinnon's not on people's Mount Rushmore, he's certainly close.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I think it's great for him personally, even if you won't admit it, that he got to this marker, right? 100 points. I think it's sort of, you know, been one of the things that's hung over his career, if anything, about just sort of this threshold that he's never been on. And, you know, if you're going to want to put yourself up there with the McDavid and company of the world, you know, the very best of the best, those are the guys who, you know, are hitting that number every year. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but the fact that MacKinnon got to that number and also missed, you know, I think 10, 11 games, which it was never specified, but it looked like it was kind of a you know, oblique or abdominal injury, you know, never a good thing for a hockey player. It's a tough thing to get over sometimes. It's impressive. And, you know, for Nate, to his credit, he's been the same guy through and through, you know, in all of this. You know, one thing I marvel at with the Avalanche this season on their power play, which is one of the best in the league, you know, they're really not very fancy with it. The game plan is when MacKinnon's on the ice, is give the puck to 29 and then get out of the way. And, you know, his zone entries are so powerful, and getting to watch him do that on a nightly basis, it's special. And you're right, you know, put him on the Mount Rushmore for sure, because when you talk about, you know, longevity of career, skill of player, you know, I think MacKinnon's best hockey is still in him, you know, being a guy, you know, now who's, you know, he's got 100 points, you know, when does he win the Hart? You know, when does he, you know, get some of these national accolades that, you know, Connor McDavid seems to be getting every year? You know, I think for Nate, to for him, I'm sure that's part of his next motivation going forward here.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I mean, it's just so interesting covering and following both these teams, or you cover, of course, the Avs so closely, but you see the other stuff that's going on with the Nuggets and everything.
Sure.
I mean, you just see this is what greatness looks like. You know, the Avs win a cup. It was greatness. They are challenged with so many injuries and things throughout the course of the season. They find a way somehow to get there. And now we're waiting to see if the Nuggets can follow behind that. But the two different organizations at this point, one is just a winner. They know how to win. They bring it a lot. And the Nuggets still trying to figure that out.
Sure. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been in a Michael Malone press conference, but I've been through several over the years, you know, during my time with the Post. And, you know, I think Malone has this fire that's needed from a head coach, and I think he ultimately will be the guy to bring a title to Denver if it does happen for this team. But there's just sort of this kind of unevenness about him, and especially with his interactions with the media and perceived maybe throwing guys under the bus when things aren't going well that you just don't get with Bednar. You know, it's even and steady, you know, pretty much 100% of the time. You know, there was a lot lost a few nights ago where he critiqued some players as being passengers. And, you know, that's pretty much the biggest critique we've gotten from him in terms of, you know, a spicy comment, you know, a passenger being a guy who's just on the ice and just there for the ride as opposed to really dictating the play. So, you know, he's kind of refused to follow up on the comment, wouldn't say who the players that he was talking about, but said that he addressed it. But to me, it was sort of this sign of, okay, here's a guy who really knows, you know, when to play his cards in the media and when to play things close to the chest. You know, of course, we'd love to get Malone quotes about how, you know, guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and things have to change and you know, he can't coach effort, you know, basically stuff like that. But I don't know if that's so great for team morale or championship culture. So we'll see. You know, maybe that's nitpicking at this point, and, you know, with Jokic, that cures all ills. But you're certainly right that the Avs just kind of operate at a different frequency than everybody else, and you can see it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, we'll see what this run looks like. As you said, there's more to be determined in the standings and how this is going to work out, but we do know that the Avs are in. They're going to get a shot to defend that Stanley Cup. Kyle, my man, what are you working on at the Denver Gazette? You talked to us, I think, last week about your piece on Nichushkin that you were putting together. Excellent stuff by you.
Thank you.
I love that. I love those stories, too, getting into depth on those players. But what else are you working on that we can check out?
Yeah, so I guess the most immediate thing, and I touched on it earlier, was just sort of examining Mikko Rantanen's season, right? I mean, not only is he about to cross this 50-goal barrier, but he's been such a leader on the team, you know, in the absence of Gabe Landeskog. And it's interesting with him because he's been around for a long time, Mikko, right? I mean, he was drafted, you know, gosh, I don't remember the year anymore, but I think he's been in the league 6 or 7 years. Progressed to a point now where he's a 50-goal scorer, but it was never ordained, right? He was the 10th pick in the draft, but a guy who had to develop to get to this point. And so examining that has been a lot of fun, and really even going back to the roots. You know, Mikko told me about summers growing up in Finland. His dad built him this big wooden contraption to shoot goals when he didn't have any ice, and there wasn't even a net, but basically it was just a bunch of angled wood that allowed him to shoot at some targets and collect pucks in a big bucket. So it was fun, you know, learning that from Mikko and his story, because certainly a guy it's easy to root for as an Avalanche fan, and it's been so fun to watch. I mean, the way he leverages his body to win puck battles in tight areas and just that hammer of a shot. I mean, it's been a joy to cover Mikko this season, especially without Gabe there. You know, for me, he's really been that captain of the room in the absence of Landeskog.
I'll be looking forward to that one. Last one for you, Kyle. The injury situation, you just mentioned Gabriel Landeskog. What is that looking like for this team going forward?
Okay, so just what we know right now, you know, the newest members of that injured list are Cale Makar and Darren Helm. They didn't play in last night's overtime win. But to me, that feels a little bit more like maintenance going down the stretch against a bad Sharks team. Maybe, you know, Bednar's hoping to just have those guys fresh. I'm hoping to get a little bit more insight on that from Bednar tomorrow at morning skate. But also the Avs traveled all their injured guys, so it's possible that Pavel Francouz, Josh Manson, and Arturi Lehkonen could all play at some point during this four-game swing. I wouldn't say it's overly likely that any of those guys come back. This kind of seems symbolic to me, you know, bring all your injured guys in the last long road trip. The Avs have today off. I'm sure everyone's bonding, even the injured guys with Gabe. I think that's good for team morale, but we'll see. You know, stranger things have happened. I don't expect Landy to be among those guys who comes back for sure. It seems like he's still far out. But it wouldn't shock me if one of those three other guys, you know, came back, you know, maybe for that Kings game or the Anaheim game the night after that.
All right, my man. Well, we'll look out for your updates and your great stuff as well via Twitter, Denver Gazette, all of it. Keep up the great work, and we'll look to catch up with you soon.
All right, sounds great. Appreciate it.
Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette talking all things Avs with us there. Some special stuff going on with the Avs. I mean, and they're trying to round out this season. They've got momentum on their side where it feels like the Nuggets are sputtering right now. They're like your Rockies bus at this point. They're trying to get to the finish line of the regular season, but the vehicle's barely running. Like I said, dude, it's like cars. You're going to have to stick your tongue out at the end just to come up with a three-way tie here. But we'll see when you get to the playoffs. Maybe things will change, and we'll find out. All right, 36 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.